Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from the fifth canto, chapter 17, text number 4. So I'll just chant the verse and then we'll do the word for word together, and then we'll do the translation. Tato nika sahasrakoti vimanani ka sankula devayanena vatara antindu mandalam avyarya brahma sadane nipattati. Tata. After purifying the seven planets of the seven great sages, aneka, many, sahasra, thousands, koti, of millions, vimana anika, with contingents of airplanes, sankula, congested. Devayanena, by the spaceways of the demigods. Avataranti, descending. Indumandalam, the moon planet. Avarya, inundated. Brahmasadane, to the abode of Lord Brahma, atop Sumeru Parvata. Nipatati falls down. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. Please repeat. After purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. Purport. We should always remember that the Ganges River comes from the causal ocean beyond the covering of the universe. After the water of the causal ocean leaks through the hole created by Lord Vamanadev, it flows down to Dhruvaloka, the pole star, and then to the seven planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Then it is carried to the moon by innumerable celestial airplanes. And then it falls to the top of Mount Meru, which is known as Sumeru Parvata. In this way, the water of the Ganges finally reaches the lower planets and the peaks of the Himalayas. And from there, it flows through Hardwar and throughout the plains of India, purifying the entire land. How the Ganges water receives or reaches the various planets from the top of the universe is explained herein. Celestial airplanes carry the water from the planets of the sages to the other planets. So-called advanced scientists of the modern age are trying to go to the higher planets. But at the same time, they are experiencing a power shortage on Earth. If they were actually capable scientists, they could personally go by airplane to other planets. But this they are unable to do. Having now given up their moon excursions, they are attempting to go to the other planets, but without success. Om Gyananta Madandasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshus Unmilitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayamupagadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Chubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again. After purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. So the importance of Mother Ganga is kind of brought to point here of how it's so important that the demigods would make these airplanes and bring it to the other planets in the universe. So it is so valuable and so important. Actually, Mother Ganga, she's a pure goddess who cleanses sin. And she's worshipped by billions of people just on this planet. What to speak of other planets. There's many other planets throughout the universe where she travels. There's a very beautiful description of her. Sri Ganga Devi has a complexion as white as the champak flower. White garments and jeweled ornaments adorn her body. And millions of moons shower their effulgence upon her smiling face. She is ever youthful, ever fortunate, beloved of Lord Vishnu, who can remove everyone's sins. So just this beautiful personality. Just imagine, she's traveling from the covering of the universe, penetrated by the toe of Vishnu, and she travels, runs all throughout the universe, even to the lower planets. And imagine all the holy places on other parts of the universe. What to speak of the ones on this planet. But today we'll mention a few of them in this particular class. So we know when she began, there was the story of the dwarf Vamana boy. The dwarf Vamana was a boy. He interrupted the sacrifice of Bali, and then he asked for these three paces of land. And then, with his second step, he pierced the universe. And this is where the sacred water, the waters traveled. They traveled millions of miles through all the elements. Can you imagine? She's penetrating the earth, water, fire, air, ether. She's coming through all the elements that, cover the universe, because through that hole. And it's amazing how she travels these millions of miles through all these elements. And then finally she reaches the heavens, and it's described that the Milky Way is actually her. She creates an arch across the heavens, and that's described as the Milky Way. And then it passes Dhruvaloka, which is the pole star as mentioned, and then the constellation of the seven sages, and then she soars high above the Himalayas, and with untold strength, Lord Shiva shields the earth from the Ganges' forceful fall. Can you imagine if the earth, the water, this huge river just coming, with the force like a, meteor come into the planet, just destroy the earth. So Lord Shiva very mercifully shields the earth from that forceful fall. So to imagine this is, there's many great sages, and it's described in the Bhagavatam, that they try to visualize this great form of the Lord and all the elements in this, so it's called the Sisumara. It's like a form of a dolphin. Other places it's described to be like a serpent, which is coiled in its tail. And it's described that the tail is Dhruvaloka, and the different planets of the demigods, you know, they make up all these different, this visual thing you can actually see in the sky, because some people want to see this visual part of the Lord. And it describes in more detail in the fifth canto as a great machine consisting of stars and resembling the form of a dolphin. So there's one verse where it describes that on the back of the Sisumara is the group of stars known as Ajaviti, and on its abdomen is the Ganges that flows in the sky, and that's considered the Milky Way. So you can actually see that. But on this planet, she travels 1,600 miles. It starts from Gomuk. You know, there's this big iceberg there. And she starts there, and it ends at the Sagara, the Ganga Sagara, which is considered to be a holy Tirtha. It's at the Bay of Bengal. So she travels 1,600 miles just on this planet, purifying the land. And along the course there, there's so many different, you know, holy places, you know, special places where people can perform these penances and sacrifices. Because if you, it's described, and we'll show some different references here, how by performing austerities or devotional service or, you know, different types of sacrifices in these holy places, you get spiritual benefit that's thousands of times more. As Jayapataka Maharaj said yesterday, that you get 1,000 times the benefit when you perform something on the bank of the Ganga. And he also, the Yamuna, another holy river, you get, she's 100 times more merciful than the Ganga. And even here, chanting in the temple room amongst the deities, you get unlimited benefit. So all these holy places are created by all these great devotees and the mercy of Krishna. So in the fifth canto, it confirms about this. We read this earlier in the ninth verse. For those who bathe in the Ganges at any time, the results of great sacrifices like the Ashvamedha and the Rajasuya Jagnas are not at all difficult to achieve. So there's many places along the Ganges rivers where people can have this facility. And Prabhupada describes in the purport here that this special facility for all people of India is that they can bathe in the water of the Ganges at so many places of pilgrimage. And Kapila Muni, he actually traveled the entire length of the Ganges. And then he made his ashram, his holy Tirtha there at the Bay of Bengal. And he practiced austerities and penances like that. And he said that when a pure devotee hears about the glories of Lord Vishnu, who is seated in everyone's heart, that devotee's mind immediately flows toward the Lord, just as the waters of Mother Ganga flow toward the sea. And even Queen Kunti, she prays, O Lord Amadu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So there's so many nice quotes of devotees using the Ganga as, you know, metaphor, but also as such a holy place where people can take advantage and become cleansed. And even Shanaka Rishi inquired about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya about the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord. And he said, the hearings of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. So again and again, it's confirmed about how powerful this water Ganges is. And I'd like to read the purport that Prabhupada did to this verse in the third canto, and he explains these different elements. The water of the Ganges is purified because it pours from the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges because it is spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of his transcendental activities. The Lord is absolute. There is no difference between his words, his perspiration, or his pastimes. The water of the Ganges, the narrations of his pastimes, and the words spoken by him are all on the absolute platform. And thus, taking shelter of any one of them is equally good. Srila Rupa Goswami has enunciated that anything in relationship with Krishna is on the transcendental platform. So here's our key here, Prabhupada mentions in the last sentence. If we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna, then we do not stand on the material platform, but always on the spiritual platform. So isn't that amazing? And when we know that King Parikshit, when he was on the bed on the bank of the Ganges, he just told the Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, of flowing rivers, I am the Ganga. So here it's proved that she is the representative of the Lord. And Prabhupada explains in the purport to that verse in the first canto, as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of the great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free of all fear and death. So even more recently, Lord Chaitanya, he expressed his love for Mother Ganges. And he said, O Ganga Devi, your waters are the ambrosia of love of Godhead. The utterance of your name invokes devotional service to the Supreme Lord. By your mercy, the living entities acquire a taste for chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. So we have a proof of this, actually, if anyone has read the book by Radha Swami, where he was explaining how he was meditating on a rock in the middle of the Ganga. And he heard the holy names of the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra from Mother Ganga. So this is her mercy. She gives a taste for acquiring, for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So some of the holy places along the Ganga, there's the Aswamedha Ghat. That's where pilgrims, they gather and they worship Ganga. They do Ganga Puja that with earth, water, fire, and air. So I would say that earth represents like the incense, I think you offer, and then water, you offer water, and then fire, they offer the ghee lamps, these huge ghee lamps. You know, there's many pujaris with these huge ghee lamps offering. And then air, I guess the chamra whisk. They offer this to the Ganga for the pleasure of Mother Ganga. And because they know if she's pleased, then she'll bestow her blessings upon them and they'll bring them back to her father in the spiritual world. So they have faith like that. And then if we go to Prayag, that's where the Kumbh Mela takes place. And that's where the story from the epic battle between the demons and the demigods. And that's where Mohini Murti appeared to trick them. And then when they were fighting, there was a few drops of water. They landed at this Triveni, the confluence of the rivers Ganga, Jamuna, and Sarasvati. So every 12 years, pilgrims and thousands of people come there to bathe because they know that spot at the Makara Sagranti during the Kumbh Mela festival, that it gives one the results of performing unlimited pious activities. So you get so many people that go for that. And then if you go to Jayapur, there's a story about this king. He was invited by Queen Victoria she was the Empress of India at the time, and she invited this king, Madhun Singh, of Jayapur. He was the king of Jayapur. She invited him to England. But he reluctantly agreed under the condition that he could carry enough Ganga water for bathing and drinking during his whole entire trip that would last. So they have these huge silver pots. They're like as big as a person, like over 6 feet tall, and he would fill these with Ganga water and take it with him on his trip. So this is all throughout time how the importance of the Ganga is being stressed here, the great king. He won't go anywhere without Ganga water. So also with the demigods, we realize how they had these billions of celestial airplanes that would take the Ganga to other parts of the universe. So yeah. Then we go to Haridwar. That's where they call the gateway to Hari, Haridwar, of Hari, Lord Vishnu. And in the Garuda Purana, it states that anyone who immerses themselves in the water, the waters of Mother Ganga at Haridwar, does not have to take birth again. And there they do an abhishek of the Ganga, which is interesting. The water, you know, abhishek is water, so they give a bath to Ganga with Ganga water, which is interesting. So, but it's done with devotion, and there's many methods of how they do this particular pujas, like, you know, they do abhishekes and pujas and artiks. But she doesn't really care about all the different methods. She just wants the devotion, and that's what she accepts. And there's so many devotees of Lord Ganga. And also, Lord Shiva is considered to be everywhere in Haridwar. And he lives at the peak of Mount Kailash. It's known as Gangadhara, which means one who carries the Ganges on his head. You imagine Lord Shiva, he's there and all the Ganges. He's breaking the fall there and carries it on his head. And then there's Rishikesh. So many yogis, they go there to develop mystical siddhis. And they can travel great distances. And they use holy rivers like the Ganga. They can sit in one part of the river and meditate. And by their mystic siddhis, they can travel throughout the whole Ganga, anywhere, thousands of miles away. I wonder if they can even go to the beginning, like back to the spiritual world, because she begins at the toe of Lord Vishnu. I mean, if there were devotees, they would probably be able to do that. I don't know, but that's what it said, that they can travel in these holy rivers. But these mystic yogis, usually it's, if they're not devotees of Krishna and they develop devotion to Lord Vishnu, then it's described that their devotion or their mystic siddhis are just considered to be like an elephant that bathes very nicely in the river, and then it comes out again and just rolls in the mud, in the dirt. So this is what happens. So the mystic powers that they create, if they're not devotees, then it just creates for their karma, which binds them to the mature world. And then if we go to Deva Prayag, it's the place of godly beings. That's where this Deva Samarishi, he meditated to see Lord Vishnu. And then when Lord Vishnu appeared to him, and then many demigods came to meditate there too. So that's why they call it the place of the godly beings, where they come. And that's where the confluence of the Alakananda River flows from Bradranath and the Bhagirathi, which flows from the Gomukh Glacier. So this point here, this confluence is where what they call, that's when they start calling it the Ganga, the Mother Ganga. And Rama and Lakshmana actually came to this place and they performed austerities there. So therefore it's at Deva Prayag. This place became very famous then as an ideal place for sacrifice and meditation. And then there's Gangotri. There's this deity of Mother Ganga there. And it's an elevation of 10,000 feet. So this is, Gangotri is the summer residence for this deity. And it's only open 6 months of the year. So villagers there, they perform this two-day walking festival where they carry the deity of Mother Ganga from her winter home to Mukba, which is located thousands of feet below. And this is where they take her there because it's a more lofty residence. So they have this two-day festival where they take Mother Ganga. And here also King Bhagirath, he fasted and he prayed for Ganga to appear to relieve his ancestors from their sinful reactions. And she appeared, and that's where she asked him. She said, "I will appear, but my force, you know, who will sustain my force?" Like that. And then here, Gomukh is is like attractive land. It's about 11 miles, and it's the actual place of the descent of Mother Ganga on this planet. And it's a glacier. It's actually about 2.5 miles high. And this is her earthly origin. And there's a Shiva Linga mountain there, which is the Himalayas. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, of immovable objects, I am the Himalayas. And from there, when the Ganges, you know, comes off of Lord Shiva's head, it goes into many branches. And the Bhagarati is like considered to be a trickle of that. So they all are broken there. So that's just a simple tour of the along the Ganges River, so many holy places of Tirtha, and how the devotees are so, you know, convinced and devoted to Mother Ganga. So this is the vision of the devotees in the mature world. They know that happiness, it comes and goes, just like distress comes and goes. So they're both temporary, just as a leaf boat floating on the divine waters of Mother Ganga. And the devotees, they see tribulations not only in the same way as, you know, ordinary people, but they see it as an opportunity to surrender even more deeply to their Lord. So we're also so fortunate to have such spiritually powerful places to become purified. Prabhupada says all these places we should take advantage and engage in devotional service. There's always some special place, there's some special time, there's some special devotees, there's some special articles, there's some special water. It's always something where we could take advantage. And the faithful, they realize that all living beings can become immediately purified. You know, their minds can become purified from contamination simply by touching these things. Touching the transcendental water of Ganga, you know, many holy places. So they accept it. They accept these things for all time. You know, with great devotion, they accept it on their head. So just to end here, Narada Muni, he confirms about these sacred places in the seventh canto. And he's talking about how now I should describe places where religious performances may be well executed. He says any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is the most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred. And there's a really nice purport given here by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is indicated that a Vaishnav temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best sacred place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big, big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. So he goes on in another verse here. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritually done there is certainly very effective. And here's an interesting verse. This is also the next verse from that. And he's describing all these different lakes. He mentions all their names, you know, like Kukshetra, these places, Gaya, Prayag. He goes on, all these different rivers, you know, Dwarka, Badrikashram, the places where the Nanda River flows, where Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter. So he mentions all these places, and then in the same verse, and this is in the verse, this is not the purport, it's described here. Similarly, places outside India where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed in any other place. So this is interesting because the Krishna consciousness movement is mentioned in the verse. It's nice. So similarly, places outside India where there are centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, where the Radha Krishna deities are worshipped, must be visited and worshipped. So this is a very nice purport Sri Prabhupada gives to this verse. And we'll end with that. In these verses, and in the verse 29, stress is given to one point. Harer archaris ritas chaye, or harer archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya 4.126. Pritivichi achi yata nagari gram. Sarvatra pachara haibe moranam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Mogasya moga karmano moga jnana vicheta saha. Bhagavad Gita 9.12. No one can become successful in fruitive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. As recommended in the Shastras, everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna consciousness movement and understand the value of spiritual life. Jai. So as Lord Chaitanya wanted us to spread this movement, to bring these holy scriptures, bring these holy temples everywhere, just like the demigods using these billions of airplanes to take the holy Ganges to different parts of the universe. So we can also carry these sacred, you know, rivers, these sacred books, these sacred things throughout the cities, every town and village. Lord Chaitanya wanted us to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So in that way, the devotees are also carriers of this mercy. Jai. Ganga Devi Ki Jai. So, is there any comments or questions? Jai. Jai. So, we've got 15 after. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Chakmaj gave a class just yesterday or the other day where they analyzed it. It had so much bacteria when it was contaminated, but in time it just completely purifies it.
Yeah, it purifies itself.
Yeah.
I know we have in our system, you know, we have culture,